Standard podcast on the medium-term budget policy statement. My name is Kevin Lings. I'm the chief economist within Standard. So I think the budget was obviously presented under difficult economic conditions, and we could see that the minister broadly was under pressure in every sense, his tax revenue behind, his expenditure ahead of budget, and clearly needing to try and bring that all into a consolidated and fiscal disciplined package. But at the same time, it was evident that he's mindful that he's going into an election year and he doesn't want to make significant changes that may result in a pushback. And clearly, government can't afford that, given that the voter support for the ANC has clearly dwindled. So what were the key focus points? The first, I think, that jumped out was that tax revenue behind budget, substantially behind budget. The minister's saying that it's ended up being an estimate of around about 56.8 billion, 56 billion. That's sizable. It's not an absolute crisis, but it certainly is meaningful. And if we break down that revenue shortfall, it was very much in two areas. The one is corporate tax revenue, specifically mining companies. So a good chunk, more than 35 billion of that 56 billion related to the corporate tax revenue under collection. And then the other big area was VAT receipts. And so VAT collection also substantially behind, mainly because of increased VAT refunds. So it's a little bit of a technical thing, but I suppose in the end, it does the same in the sense that government is not collecting the type of revenue that they envisaged. In terms of where government has actually improved revenue collection, the outstanding area is personal income tax. Government is saying that that is going to be more or less 6 billion ahead of budget. Now, the reason why I think that's important is that we've seen a lot of discussion in the last couple of months that things like immigration is hurting the tax base for individuals, and we're losing a lot of taxpayers because of that. That doesn't seem to be showing up in the tax numbers. And even if I look at the corporate tax shortfall, it is heavily concentrated in the mining sector. So I would say overall that the numbers are not great, but they're not shocking. I think they are manageable, but the message is very clear for government, and that is that if you want to collect more tax revenue, you undoubtedly have to improve economic growth. You have to improve the functioning of the state-owned enterprises, particularly Transnet, in order to make sure that the companies can perform better and that as a consequence, government can collect a lot more tax revenue. In terms of expenditure, government acknowledged that they had overspent about 29 billion, mainly because of the salary increase that was more than budgeted. But to government's credit, what they've done is they have taken away from a broad-based allocation of expenditure across all government departments across the provinces. They've reduced that by in the order of 30 billion. So government is making good on the promise. And the promise was if government salaries are increasing more than what we budgeted, we will claw back that increase in other areas of expenditure. Now, they haven't been specific on which areas of expenditure, and there's a bit of a criticism around that. But they have, in terms of the latest update, said, well, we're going to cut expenditure across a broad range of allocation and that we are simply going to inform government departments that they don't have the money that they envisage. And they continue those cuts on for the next 3 years. So I thought that was a good statement of intent, and obviously seeing is believing. We'll watch and monitor whether they can actually effect those cuts. So what does that mean? It means that the deficit is bigger than what government budgeted. It goes to 4.9% of GDP. So there's a somewhat of a deterioration there. I think that, again, is manageable. Where there's a much bigger deterioration is in government debt. Government debt is now projected to go over the next couple of years to 77% of GDP. That's huge. That's way bigger than what we had previously. So why such a significant jump in government debt? It's got a lot to do with the fact that some of our government debt is foreign debt. And obviously the currency has been weaker in the last while. And because the currency is weaker, you've got to restate the value of that debt in rands. And so the debt goes up relative to GDP. And that's what I think the rating agencies are going to be most concerned about. Because that debt is now 77% of GDP, or that's the projection, it means that the debt servicing cost, the interest cost of that debt, now goes up dramatically. And we're looking at the number moving up to 22% of total tax revenue. At the moment, it sits at 18%. 18% is way too high. Going to 22% is going to be really damaging to government's ability to spend money where they would ideally really want. And so again, that message is clear. If we don't get the debt under control, ultimately the debt service cost is going to overwhelm the budget and we're going to end up with what is called a debt trap. So I think the minister is acknowledging that we've got to lift economic growth. We've got to restructure government, hopefully next year in terms of the various government departments. And clearly there's a lot of expenditure that can be pulled back as a result of that restructuring. But it's all about economic growth. It's all about trying to improve the tax base, get more taxpayers, and then we can put ourselves in a better fiscal position. In terms of the growth rate, though, if I look at the next 3 years, what is the minister projecting economic growth going to do? He doesn't even get it going to 2%. And so he's not believing his own rhetoric. He's not buying into this idea that we can make meaningful progress. He's saying, yes, we've got to do all these things. But the net result over the next 3 years is an economic growth rate that doesn't go above 2%. So overall, this is net-net a bit disappointing. It suggests that government is out of options. They're out of ideas. There wasn't anything innovative in this set of numbers. There's nothing that says that government is able to implement substantial reforms. And we're left with the feeling that it's going to be a long road, a hard grind to put South Africa's fiscal position in better shape, and that we're going to keep coming back to this topic. And the topic is there's no substitute for higher economic growth. If we don't grow this economy faster, we cannot afford the government and the public sector we have. So we've got a simple choice. If we want to keep the existing public sector, grow the economy faster. If we can't grow the economy faster, we have to substantially scale back the size of the public sector. That's ultimately the choice we've got. I think the minister's kind of acknowledging that and is suggesting that next year and in the years after that, there will have to be a meaningful restructuring of the public sector, making it smaller, making it more efficient. And hopefully in the background, we can get the SOEs in better shape, we can get confidence going, and we can lift economic growth. But there's no quick fix. There's no panacea. There's not going to be the surge, the sudden improvement in the South African economy. It's going to be a long grind to put South Africa in better shape. That's all from me for this discussion. And please listen to our other discussions on key aspects of how the medium-term budget policy affects credit ratings, how it affects the financing of SOEs, and importantly, its impact on the South African bond market and our position with regards to the yield curve. Thanks a lot for listening.